Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Yeah. Good gracious, ass is bodacious. It's Friday, July 9th, 2021. And this right here, Morning Combat, Las Vegas, Park MGM, the setting. Brian Campbell, the BBC with that BDE. You know this man right here. The best in the world at what he does, the one and only Luke Thomas. Luke, it is UFC 264 weekend. Just through those doors, as John Anik would say. One more sleep until McGregor, Poirier 3. But forget about those two. How about the donks that came out to see
round
us
of
right
applause
now
for the donks.
Woo! Woo! I mean, can you rub that one on the gums a little bit, Luke?
Yes, it feels good. It is numbing them as I speak. Yeah, thanks to everyone who's out here. The cameras can't show them, but we see them. And later on in the show, we're going to do a live edition of DMs with Donks. You can ask us a question on camera. How's that sound?
So if
fun?
We will good. Get fired, it will be at the hands of all these people today. So that's great
problem.
To see. Luke,
always blame the audience, I say.
A grown man, the great Aaron from Washington, went into his own bag and pulled out meat for you.
He goes, I have sausage for you. I'm like, you're not the first man to say that, but I'm not. Oh, we need to eat. Oh, right.
All right. Special thanks to our great crew here, CBS Sports, Malka, Showtime, combining for this great effort this week. We've been all over CBS Sports HQ. We've been all over the Morning Combat YouTube channel.
To the donks in the audience here, who here is Team Connor? Let me hear it. Okay, who here is Team Poirier?
Okay.
I got it. Yeah, the hot sauce is good. I agree. I got to tell you, I thought it'd be the reverse. Team Poirier, a lot more in the house than Team Connor. Interesting.
You know, a little bit more interesting is if you put your balls on the line and said, who here is Team Luke? Okay, but who here is Team CEO, the BBC with the BDE? That's what I'm talking about. That's okay, a little bit of that. How do you like the taste of that hot sauce, you old bitch? All
yes.
Right, hey, we got a great show for you today. Live Wheel of Death, live DMs from Donks. A lot of breakdown, but Luke, I'm not going to try to sell people our merch because they're wearing it. They're wearing it,
they
all right?
Wearing
if
it.
Not on their skin, in their hearts, in their soul, because we penetrate our viewers, unlike the Canadians, okay?
Are we going to do the show, or are you just going to, like, ramble for the
All right, here we go. We definitely want to get right into it. It's UFC 264. They just stepped on the scales, Luke, for the official weigh-ins. Everyone's in. Everyone is complete-ish. Couple of misses here. But let's start right off the top. That's why we're here. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor, the third time. They both weigh in at 156 pounds for this lightweight trilogy main event. Corey, if we can manich your way in there and hit us up with some video here, Luke. I want to get your reaction. We've been trying to play armchair psychologist all week with McGregor. Now we're just going to be body guys and look at what we saw on the scales. Your thoughts entering this main event.
Not a whole lot to say from it. There has been a few times where Conor has weighed in and he made the extra 1 pound to make the championship weight. Didn't have to do that here. Also, just didn't do it. I thought he looked a little bit sucked out, but he's never been a guy who ever missed weight or complained about the weight. Well, when he lost, he complained about the weight, but never had a problem on the day of the weigh-in itself.
I thought he looked very lean at
156. He did look lean. I mean, obviously, here's the problem. If you're used to Conor at 145, Conor at 155 is not that. It's obviously much better. I did think that Poirier had a much easier, I don't know, hard to know how good their weight cut was, but Poirier looked fresh and ready to go on the scales. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with that. Also, a lot of people don't know, before the show, you have a pre-show rituals, which you go to the men's room right around there, and
I
you
do.
Also cut a ton of weight right before leading into
I
MK.
Did. It was very effective.
That's disgusting. That man in the middle of the screen right there is Rafael Dos Anjos, the great RDA, who was called in, Luke, as the insurance policy. He weighed in as the potential last-minute opponent. Cross the fingers, dot the I's and T's, we're not going to need the guy. But your thoughts on the choice of RDA, because it was interesting when Conor McGregor took to Twitter and was basically like, RDA, you can get some of that too.
Folks always forget the press conference where it was Conor versus RDA for a brief time.
196, brother.
196, where he got cut to fish bait by Conor. Conor in his prime doing the whole Pablo Escobar. No, excuse me. Was it Escobar?
Can
was
we
it?
Just not go deep into the Colombian drug
no,
jokes
it was
and the,
the
coffee?
Other one. Who was it?
I don't
who's
stereotype
the
South Americans.
Who's the one from Mexico?
The guy, the Chapo.
Chapo,
bro.
Who did the El Chapo bit. And they had this sort of unfulfilled rivalry for a long time. he kind of played into that. I like the RDA choice. I think RDA, you know, RDA is Dana White's barometer for greatness. If you can beat that guy, you can do pretty special things. If you can't, then maybe he's not, you know, you got some work to do. And so I think we all know that RDA is a little bit longer in the tooth at this point. But as, listen, he's a pro. He always comes prepared. I'm sure he had a, like, literally, I'm sure he had a good camp for this. So as a substitute choice, obviously it would be upsetting if for one reason he had to get plugged in. But if he does, you're going to get a great fight either way.
It's funny. Every time I've interviewed RDA since 196, I bring up the Conor fight. He always tells me it's going to happen one day. So let's just hope it's not this weekend. But as we saw, Luke, not only on the scales, what we saw at Thursday's press conference, you and I put out a separate Morning Combat reaction video, youtube.com/morningcombat for that bonus. But Luke, for the final time, can you play armchair asshole here and kind of really just break in what we saw from Conor McGregor Thursday afternoon? I told you I thought it was some second-rate Vegas caricature crap. Your belief on that?
Caricature.
See, I'm not really so good with words from my factory town upbringing, but Luke, passion-wise, there's nobody better.
Yeah,
right?
Passion, you're great. I thought it was Conor doing an impression of Conor, honestly, in the end. I mean, I was sitting next to a bunch of the faithful for Conor McGregor, and they seemed to be having a good time. So I think if you're a Conor McGregor fan, you probably got what you wanted. But then we spoke to a bunch of folks on the street on the way to where we were going to get dinner, and we talked to some Conor McGregor fans, and they were like, yeah, they didn't kind of sort of feel it either. They got a little bit of something there. But I don't know, man. The whole vibe around it is it feels like he's trying to will himself back into some role, back into some kind of promotional territory, back into some kind of iconography. And it's working to a degree, I guess. Certainly this is a better approach for competitive reasons than the last fight. But I'm just feeling like he's stuck in third gear and he can't quite get out. Why? Did he have an injury? Is there something wrong with the camp? Or has he already beaten the game, so to speak, and he's still trying to will himself into a place he can't get to anymore? We're going to find out on
Saturday. Well, Conor said on Thursday, in fact, he said it to me. He said, you'll pay to see what happens. No official prediction outside of that he's going to, you know, kill the guy and knock his head off for whatever that's worth. Yeah. Poirier, during Thursday's press conference, said, quote, I saw a guy who was unsure of himself, scared, trying to hype himself up. I do have to say, Luke, although we can only stress her and try to figure this out this much, the interviews I did see with McGregor this week, whether it's Stephen A. Smith, Ariel, on and on, I don't know, man. I just didn't see, what's that word I've been butchering all week? Authenticity.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, I didn't see that authentic, like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to get somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Who thought Conor looked good at the presser yesterday? Okay, right? Okay, not great, but not great. Yeah, I mean, that's a general tendency around Vegas. It was a lot better than what he had for the rematch. Okay, and again, we've talked about it. 6 months since the last fight, seven months or so. So he's going to be in a much more competitive mindset. Okay, doesn't have the family with him. That probably put him on edge as well. But I did not get the feeling that he was in the kind of control as he was when he came into the UFC 205 pre-fight presser doing this bit, talking about his big Irish balls. It was a totally different McGregor than that.
It's hard because, you know, you're going to say, well, BC, you would have been very upset if he came out and was gentlemanly McGregor again.
He was this close to sending you to hell, too.
Well, look, I gave him that. See, here's the thing, Luke. I'll go up to the fire.
Yes.
I'll smell it. You know, I'll taste it, okay? All right? I want you to pour some sugar on me in the name of love. He didn't have what it took in that moment, so score one for BC.
Was that like a Bon Jovi and YouTube reference?
Luke, I will dig deep for the big live shows, all right?
All right.
All right? Luke, what I was trying to go there is ultimately – you know, he's going to say what he says. It's all going to matter Saturday night in the cage. But if he came out and was gentlemanly and was domesticated McGregor, I would not have been as entertained. So at least he brought some kind of old magic in the fire. But Poirier won hands down with the quick one-liners. And
I don't tend to judge who wins and lost. Mayweather loses every press conference he's in and then goes in there and wins every fight he's in. Like, to the people want to assign a winning and losing value to this. All I would have to say is who looked to be in control? Who looked to be happier? Who looked to be, I don't know. There was one guy who looked like all the homework had been done the right way, and he wasn't sweating anything. It looked like to me there was another guy who maybe was feeling some kind of pressure that we haven't been able to specifically identify yet.
Look, before we get into how Saturday night's fights are going to look and get your rock hard, lock hard, lockdown predictions, I did want to give you a soapbox moment because you really like R. Kellying people and soiling on them. Your reaction to the MMA media's questioning and their line of questioning during Thursday's press conference.
How about those MMA media questions yesterday, huh? Terrible, terrible. Folks have asked me, like, why didn't you go ask one? The basic answer I would give is this. It's like, obviously you could probably find some examples where this is not true, but why did Rush Limbaugh never lose a debate on his radio show? And there's a lot of answers for it, but the basic one is that he's up there and you're down there. Everything is designed – to where you're never going to be able to get him in the way in which you think you can. He's got technological advantages. He's got rhetorical advantages and whatever else. So I've done a radio show. It's always easy to beat up on your callers if you want to. These things are fan pressers. They're designed for the fans. If you ask me, you're going to invite the fans to show up. You should allow them to ask questions. It shouldn't be the media, because the media is going to be intimidated by the fans. Dana's just going to blow off any serious question anyway. It's not really the time to get any, like, hard-hitting, I'm going to bang my fist down on the floor, Micah, and ask for the manager type questions. It's a time when it's a fucking pep rally. It's
wow.
a pep rally.
Wow.
So if it is, no, I'm serious. If it's a pep rally, let the fans ask the questions and just be done with it.
I think you should harden up and take a step back, okay? Why don't you step up to that mic? You know what
I've
I'm
done
saying?
That. Dude, I've been doing that when you were covering boxing presses.
Yeah, but you were
you
doing
got,
that.
You got work
You were
to
doing
do.
That up to a point when John Jones sent you to hell just a few years back.
Are you
back,
playing
okay?
to them? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not playing to them. I am them, okay? You know what I'm saying? All right, all right.
Your brain damage.
A lot of these people could work at my factory. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Okay. You actually never worked in a factory, but okay.
I was the shipping and receiving manager.
In the air-conditioned side of the factory.
That's not true at all. All right, Luke, enough. You know, but the guy with the pink jacket, he had some balls for what it's worth.
Yeah, the pink jacket guy. Did anyone see him get knifed in the parking lot? I was like, dude, you're going to get knifed. He was going to get fucking knifed in the parking lot, but okay.
All right, Luke, let's get into it. 264 main event, Pwawiwe, Connor, 3. Let's go to our friends over there at William Hill. As I can see a final line as I speak right now, Luke. Final for the moment. Plus 105, Conor McGregor, your underdog. Minus 125, your betting favorite, yep. Dustin Poirier. Luke, you love coming on here and giving these potential bettors some advice to put some money in their pocket. What is this line telling you about which way you feel like from a betting side we should go this
Pretty week? Amazing that on your main card, the only fight where you don't have plus or minus 100 odds in either direction is the Sean O'Malley fight, which of course everyone knows he's taking on an opponent with last minute notice. So of course that when the odds are going to be off. Listen, 125 minus 125 for Poirier, plus 105 from our friends at William Hill for Conor McGregor. I mean, I actually agree with those odds. It's so close. It's really hard to say. I thought.
Is it really that close?
I think it is, dude.
Or is
I really,
McGregor benefiting from so many people are going to want to come out here and bet him, so they'll change that line a little
bit. Yeah, there's probably some of that as well. But I just think Connor is mysterious and he's hard to figure out. It's hard to know what's coming and going with him. And by the way, he had a win over Poirier the first time, and then the second fight rang his bell a couple of times. So I think you have to take that seriously. And as we mentioned, the camp is going to be a lot shorter. I just feel like. The wind is a little bit more at Poirier's back. He's got more ways to win, I think, overall. And then as the fight goes longer, I absolutely think that's his fight to lose.
I think that, look, you know, I might keep mentioning armchair, psychologist, quarterback. You can only, again, take so much from these media moments as you wish. If you love McGregor, getting him here at plus odds with the punch advantage for that early finish, it's not impossible. He had big moments in that second fight before completely crumbling, Luke. But what's interesting is we asked every single fighter at Wednesday's media day, which is basically everybody on the pay-per-view main card and preliminary card, they were asked the same question. What's your pick for Saturday night? Look, I'm going to say 90% of them thought two things. One, Conor's going to come out and finish Poirier in this fight. And two, that second fight was an aberration because Conor was focusing on Pacquiao and he's coming out and he was doing the boxing stance. Luke is... I've leaned on McGregor excuses in the past. I've leaned on the potential or lack thereof of this magic and the whole mystique. What are the fighters seeing that we're not right now?
I think a lot of them believe in the absolute upside of his ability. Like when he's on, what does he look at? Like if you think about a fighter, take out their best win, take out their worst loss. They're somewhere in the middle. Okay, well, either way, you're going to eliminate either the Aldo fight or the Alvarez fight, but you're going to keep one of them. Dude, that's a guy who is still capable of absolutely incredible things. And you have to take that seriously. Again, I'm going to keep going back to it. The shorter time on the turnaround is going to make a difference one way or the other. We'll have to see how it goes. But I understand why they might be believing in that. Dude, I've been skeptical about some of the total possibility of what Poirier is actually capable of. And look at him here. So this matchup is intriguing. There was a couple of fighters who called it, and I think this is the right word for it, they called the matchup tricky. I do think it's a tricky matchup because you can get certain trends and you can get some broader developments, but how they play out and which real variable is going to be the one that matters, nobody really knows. So I like the odds. I like what they had to say. I appreciate that the fighters had a slightly different perspective. The only thing that got to me was they were like, well, you know, he just wasn't using a full array of MMA skills to fight. Okay, Let's say that he does. Even that is no guarantee of victory. So I just want to point that out.
So here's where I'm sort of sitting here. Do I believe we'll get a better McGregor than we had in the second fight? Absolutely. I think the six-month turnaround gets him way more active than he's been since the Mountaintop 2016 when he walked away from the sport, fought just three times in the next 5 years. You know you know, we've got things like C-level Kane. We've got things like a BJ Penn who's highly motivated. We also have things like Conor McGregor. When he's staying active, he's sharper, he's crisper. So, Luke, does that mean I believe he's going to come in here with more than the one-note style he played in the second bout against Poirier? Yes. Do I believe he will be willing to empty out all that is left in him? Yes. But do I believe, Luke, because of how battle-tested Poirier is, and you have to remember, I've always given McGregor the benefit of the doubt in every big fight that the magic might still be there. Poirier's just the wrong guy for that. So if we get Conor pouring it out, if we get Conor maybe having some big moments and having Poirier shaky a little bit, if this fight gets to round four, Luke, Conor's gas tank is going to fall apart. And that's where Poirier's going to come in to drop him, eventually take the back, and I think Conor's going to give us one of those exhausted tap outs and just say, look, I poured out what was left, but you're living off the legend, man, and I don't think that legend's coming through that door on Saturday night.
Again, who knows in the end? We're only just playing armchair psychologist, again, to borrow from BC's phrase, but it does seem to me like Conor is trying to will himself into a place that I'm not sure he actually is, and if that's true, and that's a big if, we don't know, but if that's true, that's a bad place to be. So we're going to end up seeing him on Saturday night.
All right, you and I are picking Dustin Poirier. I've got him fourth round submission. Do you believe he stops Conor?
Yeah, I'll say fourth round TKO.
What are we talking about Sunday, though, if Conor McGregor wins? What happens to the sport overnight if he's doubling down here?
Yep.
High risk, high reward. What if he gets that reward?
I think you're talking about Conor McGregor going to be fighting Charles Oliveira. Obviously, we know. And frankly, I think Oliveira's very capable of beating him. I think if McGregor can beat Dustin Poirier, you could say he doesn't have enough wins to merit a title shot, but he'll have beaten the guy that a win over would be the most conclusive evidence you would need to get a title shot. Plus, I think if you can beat Dustin Poirier, you can beat Charles Oliveira. Obviously, styles make fights, and there could be a lot of variables you have to account for. But I got to tell you, if Conor goes in there and makes short work of him or just looks good in the process one way or the other, you have to like his chances against Charles Oliveira. The idea that Conor could be champion again if he beats Dustin is absolutely real. He's a serious threat for it. But you know, Poirier is a tough hill to climb.
It's big business if Conor wins. It's funny how many fighters at the media day on Wednesday were honest. They said, I'm picking Conor because it's better for the sport and better for all of us. From a media standpoint, we've actually said that a few times. When Conor's back, stuff like this happens when Conor's back, right?
True.
So it doesn't mean I'm necessarily cheering for him, but a lot of people hoping and willing. And if he could do Oliveira versus McGregor in Allegiant Stadium in December like Conor wants and hopes, that's big business.
Big money. Dude, if he wins, it's great
business.
For the business. There's no denying.
And if Poirier wins, he could get that chance to capstone that great career with the full championship. Luke, co-main event, a welterweight duel. Could not produce the next title challenger, but maybe produce the next one after that. Gilbert Burns at the William Hill line, plus 135 underdog. Minus 162 is your Wonder Boy favorite at age 38. You and I have been on opposite sides of the betting tracks on CBS Sports.
Yeah, on the betting tracks, that's
HQ all week. I'm telling you, your rock hard, lock hard lock of the week from your boy BC is in the three-round window where both fighters are going to have to push a pace to try to get the judges' sway there. We're not going five rounds with two guys with great gas tanks. I like the bigger weapons Gilbert Burns brings to the table. I think this is the first fight we say, hey, maybe it's 38 caught up with Wonderboy. Give me Gilbert Burns by knockout, and you're going to say, I told you so,
bro. All right,
let's
do another poll.
Okay?
Who here thinks that Gilbert Burns is going to win tomorrow? Gilbert Burns. Okay. All right, who's Wonderboy? Who thinks Wonderboy? Okay, all right.
Because he's so likable, he's so nice. I love him too, Luke, okay? But I'm trying to make these people money.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying just because they support it, you have to.
You either come to a Morning Combat live show to make friends or make money. I'm hoping for the latter, okay? I don't need anyone's sausage out of their backpack, okay?
I will eat his sausage out of his backpack. The point being I'm trying to make here is I think that there's obviously a lot of popularity boosting the case to a degree for Wonderboy, but I actually like the case for him. The big cage, I think, serves his interest. The three rounds, I think, serves his interest. I think he sticks and moves in ways that people are just not as accustomed to. I understand that Gilbert is an A-plus athlete. I understand he's got the ace up his sleeve with the jiu-jitsu. I understand he's got a phenomenal coach in Henry Hooft.
That he's a savage,
he's
though.
He's a savage,
understand
too.
That.
There's a very good case to make for Dorino Burns, but there's also a pretty goddamn good one for Wonderboy at age 38, I would just be thinking it's a little bit foolish to look past him just yet.
All right, all right. We'll have to live on that one, Luke. Heavyweight tilt here.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy called out Ty Tuivasa. He said, let's bang. We're going to bang, Luke.
They're banging.
Somebody's going to eat a crab sandwich out of an empty shoe after this one, Luke.
Yeah,
your odds as we speak right now, you know, if I could find them.
I got it. Ty Tuivasa minus 135, Greg Hardy plus 115 from William Hill.
Luke, I got to go experience here, man. I mean, you want to challenge Ty Tuivasa to bang? No one loves the deep waters better. No one loves a slug. I like it extra sloppy, right? Nobody likes it more than that gross bastard. I love him.
Yeah. All right. Who likes Ty Tuivasa over Greg Hardy?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who likes Greg Hardy over Ty Tuivasa? Not really. Yeah, I understand. Here's the thing. Ty Tuivasa is just a better fighter, period. He's a better fighter. The only issue is he can win this pretty straightforwardly if he just took the fight to the ground, which
no.
I don't think he'll do. He can win the fight standing, but I got to say, Greg Hardy has a lot of problems. Stand-up ain't really one of them. So that's a risky way to fight this. That's why the odds are so close.
They're going to rock each other. This is going to be sloppy.
Dude, they're going to rock that bod.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, Ty Tuivasa, there's an easy path to victory for him, but I think he's going to take the harder path, honestly.
Now, you took umbrage with Greg Hardy at Wednesday's press conference when he essentially said, Luke,
how could I be a
villain? He's not a villain. He's a great American. He said,
yeah.
In fact, I'm a registered Republican.
Yes.
You know, in certain circles, Luke, that would make you a great American.
Yeah, but I don't think political affiliation makes you a hero or a villain.
All right. This is a guy who yesterday gave a long COVID rant on CBS Sports
HQ.
I was ready for that Apollo hook to come out.
I didn't
and
give
just,
a COVID
they'll
rant.
Pull you right off
I didn't
there.
Give a COVID rant.
Okay. Are you okay with Greg Hardy's assumption of where he sits in the court of public opinion?
I just don't think it's accurate. Who here thinks Greg Hardy is, like, unlikable? Oh, shit, you guys love him. We fucking love Greg Hardy. The Greg Hardy fan club has showed up.
Why you got to be a hater, bro?
I'm not being a hater. I'm just saying I think I've read the tea leaves a little bit, and I think a lot of people have issues with him. I mean, even if you take away the past or whatever, you want to move on from that, fine. He's just been really inconsistent in the cage. He's had moments where he's looked good. No denying it. He's had moments where, like, shit just collapsed. It's not the kind of thing that, like, engenders a lot of fans. I don't know.
All right. It is very capable that Hardy can get a first-round finish, so expect a shootout early. I just think we're going to get into that late second, third round where that's where Ty Tuivasa is going to shine. Luke,
right.
Interesting women's bantamweight tilt from the standpoint that it probably produces the next title challenger.
Is that what that is? Interesting.
As Luke pronounces her, I read today, Idina Day. It's good night, Irene,
you
where I come from.
You play these jokes to these motherfuckers? We've been calling her Irene on the show for 2 years, and you know we have.
Why do you get so upset, Luke?
I'm not upset.
Aldana
is
coming in there against Yana the Hammer Kunitskaya. And, Luke, Irene, though, she weighed in at 139 and a half for this one. How does that change a fight that's already close in betting odds? Aldana minus 120 is your favorite. Kunitskaya plus 100
as
we go.
And then Danny Segura reporting she wasn't even going to attempt to lose any more of the initial weight that she had weighed in at, which is a bad sign, right? Like, if someone misses weight by a couple of pounds, something may have gone wrong. I think she did her weight cut through the UFC PI, which has had some issues before. They've had double-digit fighters miss weight, so maybe there's something there. But other times it could be like they have a twisted ankle and they can't do the road work to get their weight down to where it needs to be when they miss by 3.5 or 4 pounds. That's usually a lot. So I would say if there's no injury issue and they just mismanage the cut, which happens, but for high-level pros at this point, it's usually pretty rare. I would say that it looks to me like I think Aldana's got a great jab. I think she has good lateral movement. I think she has good takedown defense along the fence line. I think she'd be a problem for Kunitskaya. But, BC, if she didn't train properly, if she's got some kind of injury, or now that the cut was bad, I think it's anyone's fight.
Hey, that's three straight underdog picks for your boy, BC, here. I like Kunitskaya to ugly up this fight, take it to the ground. Look, she regularly grapples with a former light heavyweight title contender.
She does, yes.
Okay, so that's a strong, preparation right there. Preparation H, bro. H stands for hammer in this case. I'm talking about that tattoo on my head. It's chest, brother, all right?
Okay,
great. Give me Kunitskaya.
Yep.
Please.
Yes, you did that one greatly.
Thank you. All right. Luke, Sugar Sean to close out the main card against Chris Moutinho. Last-minute replacement, making his UFC debut, has the dyed, like, neon green hair. He says, Luke, win or lose, it's going to be the fight of the night. That typically leads you to believe that Sean O'Malley will
knock him the fuck out?
You're damn right.
Yeah.
You're damn right. Okay.
This dude, Chris Moutinho, seems real nice. He seems game for the opportunity, so best of luck to him.
Okay.
But it's a tough fight.
You're saying best of luck will be sweeping you off the floor.
Hey, do you want to just go, like, we can put the rest of that shit on, like, what do you want to do? Are you going to make them stand around for an hour or you want to do DMs with Donks?
Luke, you're interrupting the flow of our show.
I am, but I think we should think about how much Yeah. Not ready for it yet? Okay. You should get ready quicker then, if you can.
All right, look, here we go. Dana White, UFC president, plenty of interviews this week, reacting to the hot button topics in the sport. I'm going to read the reaction, and then I want to get yours. Are you
all
ready?
Right, let's hear it.
Dana talked to Manouk Akpoyan.
I haven't seen his. It's Akpoyan?
My guy. He's Armenian. Manouk, we love that guy. From the LA Times, asking about fighter pay. Here was Dana's response. Quote, if you don't like it, go start your own MMA league and pay them whatever you want to pay them. This is mine, and this is the way we're doing it. You know what I mean. Do you know what Dana means there?
Yeah, he's not even trying to defend it anymore.
Is that a better face to put on
it might than
trying to lie to us?
Yeah, and honestly, yeah, at least it's a somewhat honest position. Like, I don't give a fuck how good your argument is or what the truth says. This is what it's going to be as long as I'm here. Okay. He's laying it out for you. I've said it before. All these fighters and all these managers, you can tweet all the shit you want to say. It does not do anything. You want to change it, you either got to take them to court, you got to have legislation passed, or you got to make a union. That's it. That's
all right, somebody spoke up big about Dana White and the fighter pay, and his name is Jake Paul, your favorite guy to talk about on the show. Luke, he said, Dana White, you may have bullied your way to controlling thousands of fighters' career, but I have never said I want to sign with the UFC, nor will I ever. Maybe I would consider letting you co-promote one of my events against a UFC champion like you did for Conor, because you wouldn't let Conor actually do it himself without you taking your cut. You live in lies, and every major fighter on your roster has complained about you. Luke, he would go on and on to bring out examples. He says at the end, pay your fighters more. Mm-hmm. Did he just send Dana to the bottom floor?
I'll say this, dude. The reason why Dana is getting kind of upset about all these questions is because guys like Jake Paul constantly bring it up, and so now everyone else constantly brings it up into the interviews with Dana White. It has this spillover effect, which is exactly what Jake Paul is intending to do with it. No, he's not the only one. There's other ones as well. Obviously, he's pretty prominent. That's what's happening here, and it's sort of forcing not so much a resolution in the position, because obviously we have ongoing efforts to change some of the things that are happening, but it has forced him into this kind of like, what else do you want me to say? I mean, I'm not going to do anything about your complaints. So you can keep making them, but it's going to stay what it's going to stay.
Jake
and
Paul,
by the way, when he says, if you want to pay more to your promotion, you can do that. Well, you can't, because there's some monopolistic tendencies that don't allow anyone else to get the roster, but okay.
Or maybe monosopic. What's those words you
monopsony
and John Nash
monopsony
use all the time? Yeah. It's real weird. Those comments got back to Dana in a CNBC interview, and his thoughts said, yeah, that's going on for 20 years, and it's going to be going on for the next 20 years. I don't think you're ever going to see a scenario where you see a fighter at a certain level feel like they're being paid enough.
UFC this week had this $175 million deal with Crypto.com, to which, to my knowledge, the fighters don't get hardly anything out of. And if they had a union, they would get a lot more out of it. Again, Dana he's not mincing words. He's being very clear. If you would like to get more money, you got to change the way I do business. And if it's up to me, I am not changing the way that I do business. Again, all these guys can tweet all they want about all the things. You can say whatever you want in these interviews to be disparaging. It will not do anything unless you actually do the actions that make a difference in the world.
Dana was asked about the controversy about the interim heavyweight title put on the bout between Cyril Gane and Derek Lewis, which will be the main event in Houston in August. He talked to USA Today on Tuesday, and Dana said, if anything, this will make the title fight even bigger when these guys fight. It'll be champion versus champion, and if Derek Lewis wins, Derek Lewis is the guy who beat him. Cyril Gane has never fought him, and he's undefeated, blah, blah, blah. But he went on to say this. So why doesn't everybody just shut the F up and let me do what I've been doing for the last 20 years? If you want to fight, I got fights every Saturday. If you don't want to fight, no problem. Fly around the world. Go on effing vacation. Do whatever the hell you want. And when you're ready to fight, we'll be here. See, I kind of like spicier Dana being like, no more fake corporate responses to this.
Yeah.
Yo, fuck y'all. That's what he's saying.
I mean,
right?
Dude, how else do you defend the interim belt here? Like, what else is the argument? It's totally capricious. It's totally random. The truth is the UFC does a really good job of protecting the integrity of their normal weight class titles. But their interim title class, they'll treat those like boxing titles. Hey, we got to make one so the poster looks better. We got to make one to put pressure on a champion. We got to make one so that we can make more money selling a unification. Like, the interim titles are perfect because it gives UFC the latitude to do those kinds of things while keeping some integrity for the normal weight class titles. But it's obvious nonsense.
Dana spoke to the Mac Life, was asked about Francis Ngannou being upset about this. He said, I think the ego problem was a whole different situation in the past with Ngannou. It's not even worth getting into. We got past all that. He lost two in a row at one point, and we could have parted ways with him, but we didn't. We stuck with Ngannou, and now he's the world champ. And you know, we'll see how this plays out. It's just, now we're talking about his agent. He said, it's just a guy from CAA, not the guy who was talking tough on Instagram. That guy is not even the guy I was talking about. It's his other manager. I don't know what the pecking order is over there, but yeah, we had a deal and he came back and he said we didn't have a deal. A lot of he said he shed crap with that.
Yeah, I talked to folks in Ngannou's camp and they don't agree with that assessment at all. Their assessment was that UFC was well advised of what his schedule would be, and it was never a problem until the announcement came that there was an interim title. And they were all taken by surprise. So take that for what it's worth.
Final 2 cents from Dana talking about what's at stake for Conor McGregor in Saturday night's main event. He said if he beats Dustin to reclaim the belt, quote, Conor McGregor will go down as one of the greatest fighters of all time. Luke, he said if he beats Poirier and then takes the belt from Oliveira, that's fair. That's fair, right?
I would consider that an incredible achievement. I don't know exactly where they would put him among all-time greats. Obviously, he's already he obviously plays a role given he was the first to hold two belts simultaneously.
But to come back this many
years, that would be extreme. Right. At a bare minimum, BC, I think you would agree, that would be absolutely an extraordinary achievement.
Our Showtime colleague Brendan Schaub did the King and the Sting podcast with Theo Von. They had John Anik on. And you know what Schaub said? If Conor beats Poirier on Saturday, that's the greatest win in UFC history, considering everything he came back from. Luke, I heard it both ways. What's your response?
Yeah, I don't agree with Brendan. I don't think that's the greatest win in UFC history. But I would say it'd be damn impressive and very, very
important. All right, a couple more topics before we get into live Wheel of Death.
Where are we with the dogs?
Yeah, why don't you let me host this show?
I'm just saying, you got a lot of people standing around.
Luke, September, Dana White wants to book this one. A rematch 17 years in the making. Nate Diaz versus Robbie Lawler, part deux. We saw that in 2000 freaking four, Luke. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he dropped him with a, I think it was a jab, and he went face first in the end. And they've been trying to book that one. There was a couple times they were in the same organization at the same time, and they just never really made it happen. It's an easy call because Robbie Lawler obviously respects Nick Diaz, vice versa, so Nick will get out, and this is somebody he could fight for. I think they're both at similar level. Well, Robbie is a little bit more shop-worn, I think, so we'll have to see, but I love it. I mean, who doesn't love
it's
Nick Diaz versus
making.
Robbie Lawler?
It's a sloppy Super Bowl. It would be the co-main event of Volkanovski Ortega for the featherweight title.
Okay. After this topic, we're going to start doing DMs from Donk. So if you want to ask a question, talk to one of the producers. They'll line you up.
Yeah, great instructions there, Chief. All right. Luke, Oscar De La Hoya was on the Hot Box podcast.
What's wrong with you?
Luke,
you, okay?
you think I need to be friends with you during this, Luke?
Yeah, I think you do, actually. But okay, all right. You want to be weird. It's fine.
All right. What Oscar told Floyd – I'm sorry, what he told Mike Tyson, he talked a lot about drugs and psychedelics, and he got weird there. But he said, Luke, he needs two more exhibition fights. And then Oscar wants Canelo or Floyd. Let's not spend a lot of topics on this because Oscar says a lot of bullshit. But is there any chance Canelo would take this sloppy grudge match under any circumstances and send that man to hell?
I mean, you know as well as I do. You kind of poo-pooed my thought that he would fight Beterbiev, and it looks like that's what's on at least the radar for what he wants to do. I just feel like a guy, BC, and you've been singing his praises, who's on the mission that Canelo's on. Does he really fight De La Hoya in some kind of exit? It just doesn't make any sense. Dude, Jorge Masvidal wanted to fight with him.
Why give
Canelo,
that guy the
Canelo
payday?
No-show.
Why give that guy a payday when he's only shitting on you constantly?
Yeah, I mean,
Luke,
you know.
Nevada State Athletic Commission changing the rules finally on marijuana, although will not affect any retroactive cases. Nevada no longer testing for the nugs. Luke, your thoughts on this?
I distinctly recall when they changed the threshold in everyone's urine from 50 nanograms per milliliter, and everyone's like, oh, well, if you can't clear that, then you're addicted to marijuana. And they made it to 150, said the exact same thing. I mean, this is such a leeway. Anyone should be able to get under it. And it just proved that all those measurements, they were never correct. This was always a bad idea. There are so many fighters whose careers have been absolutely not ruined, but like badly impacted.
Yeah, about damn time we get this right, okay?
This was an easy call. I mean, and by the way, this will make it easier for us to talk about the commission because it's one stupid rule you could eliminate
and if we test,
everyone could be on board
if
with.
If we blood tested all these donks here for marijuana.
Oh.
I mean, it would, you know.
I'm going to get high just off of their breath and probably some
in
COVID.
In fact, I hope we do, Luke. Okay, final bit of news, Luke. Big news, July 24th here in Las Vegas. It ain't happening. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, part three. Called off. Some competing reporting going on between Mike Coppinger and Dan Rayfield. But in the end, we know this. Fury, COVID-19. Up to 10 members of his extended camp and sparring partners also under this COVID. We're pushing this off, Luke, maybe as far out as October, given how packed this calendar is. Disappointing at the very least here, Luke.
I'm not happy about it, but it does give us a chance to actually go to this fight later. Because they wanted us to go to the fight, but we couldn't make it if it was a scheduling conflicts because it was going to be in July. So I guess that's good. I mean, I'll just say this, man. Listen, I know everyone's got different views. Fine. But if you're a professional athlete, and you can say what you want about the COVID rules, but BC knows this as well as I do, some of them, in terms of like what commissions are doing, they have been relaxed. But there's a lot of them that you like, even if we agree they don't make sense, they are still on the books. Fellas, if you test positive for COVID, they're not going to let you fight. You can be as fresh as a daisy. It doesn't matter. And you have this free miracle cure that can at least reduce your chances of transmission. I just don't – he was halfway there.
Vote for Luke Thomas for Senate. Bob Arum originally said both fighters were fully vaccinated. Now we're finding out Tyson Fury only halfway there.
BC will actually do this. He actually is vaccinated, but he'll pretend that it's some kind of controversial opinion to advocate for a safe and miracle-free cure. But, okay, I just think – last thing on this – It just makes everything go in order if you protect yourself. That's it.
You had a medulla oblongata issues today. You're a little ornery, Luke.
I'm not the one who's
to close,
playing games.
Conspiracy theory alert. Shelley Finkel, the co-manager of Deontay Wilder, said he believes this is actually gamesmanship from Fury's team.
No.
And that they heard things in camp, like maybe he wasn't in great shape or looking good in sparring. Some people think Teofimo Lopez pulled a fake COVID test. Do you think this has anything to do with the idea of pushing out to the fall when the Brits can make the journey?
I would say that it's not to me crazy to think that people would use COVID for any kind of box office or, you know, any kind of cover for what they would need to do it with. But you know me, BC, I'm willing to believe it, but I got to have some evidence. So you're asking me, is it plausible? Highly plausible. I just don't know what's happening.
We are minutes away from doing a historic live DM from Donks. Real quick, Luke, you and I. Not only celebrating our two-year anniversary of Morning Combat right now.
Yeah,
all right. Give it up for this guy right here. This guy, the whole team. You and I are finalists, Luke, in the sports category of the People's Choice Podcast Awards.
Are we?
I had no idea. My team is telling us that we appreciate what everybody does for us here. We hope you enjoy the show, but they want us to get nominated to advance to the final round. So, Luke, they say to nominate Morning Combat, go to podcastawards.com/app/signup, toggle down to the sports category, hit up Morning Combat. We've included that link in the YouTube thing. So, look, Luke doesn't care about awards. You know, I know that we're the critics' choice.
I don't.
I don't care.
I just don't trust anyone to evaluate us fairly.
All right. Well, if you care, spread that along.
Yes.
Now it's time, historic Luke. We're gonna give the Donks some FaceTime right here ahead of UFC 264.
Let's do that.
Live DM from Donks, our trusty producer. Hee haw. Mikey Moore Miles on the scene. Less than Jake is gonna hold this mic. Let's bring in the first Donk. I want to hear their name, where they're from, and their question.
All right, so let's talk into the microphone.
My name is Malik. I'm from Las Vegas. Come here.
See yourself right there? There you go. Yes. That's what you want to do.
All right, my name is Malik.
Speak up. What's your name?
My name is Malik. I'm from Las Vegas.
All right, Malik is in the house right here.
Yes,
all right,
sir,
Malik,
yes,
what's your question?
My question is, what do you think are some new tools Conor could be adding to his arsenal to aid him in defeating Dustin? For example, when Conor fought Cerrone, he used his shoulder strikes, and then when he fought Poirier the second time, he tried to change to a boxing stance. What do you think something he could be using to show the depth in his fight game this time?
All right, so he wants to know, like, what new tricks and tactics or strategies. Thank you, Malik. We will answer your question. BC, what do you got?
I mean, look, I look a lot at that 2016 rematch against Nate Diaz when we saw Conor McGregor mix things up by trying to be more of a boxer against the larger opponent than he was a seek-and-destroy puncher. Yes, he still knocked Nate Diaz down early, but I saw calf kicks. I saw lead left hands to the body with a jab to try to go downstairs. I saw constant movement, Luke, rather than just stalk, boxing stance, looking to do combinations. We need, at the very basic, the threat of the kick, Luke, that we used to see from the old Conor.
I'm going to actually say front kicks, teeps to the gut. I actually feel like he's got really good teeps to the gut. They're good at backing people up. They drain. They're good at range finding. He's also really good at pushing guys back, and when they come back, he cracks them with good timing. So I actually think that more linear attacks up the middle but at safe distance to the body, actually those will be quite valuable.
Jake, can we get the microphone up? We're
going
to need Malik's prediction here.
All right, Malik, who wins?
I got Dustin in the third by knockout.
Third round knockout.
Place
Thank you, Malik.
Bets.
I appreciate
yes,
it. Thank you, buddy. Here
Thank
we go.
Thank you very much.
No,
shout out there.
COVID.
To Malik giving us the COVID bump. Appreciate all of our Donks and what we do here. Let's bring up the next contestant in live DMs from Donks.
All right. What's your name?
I'm DJ from Colorado.
DJ from Colorado.
That means he's high as fuck, for sure.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask, if you guys are Dana White, and throughout the year, who do you think is deserving of that locker room bonus just for this year?
All right, so if you're Dana White, we're talking about like the calendar year to this point?
Just this year.
Now,
all
DJ, are you talking about the off-the-books bonus?
Off-the-book, like that we all know what happened.
Right, there's no trace of it.
No, at all. So for the whole year?
Yeah, so far. If you could give out one locker room bonus.
Brandon Moreno? I mean, is that hard?
Oh, that's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. Brandon Moreno's a good one. I would go – it's not her fault because of COVID. But,
Rose Namajunas, you going to put that on her?
I was going to say Angela Hill, but she's had a couple of her fights scrapped.
Okay.
That's not her fault. I don't know. Who would you go with?
I just got to say, I think Cater. I think Cater was in this
Calvin
year.
Cater had a rough run of it.
I was going to say, he just the heart he showed in that, you got to pay the man money. All
right.
Because he stayed in it, and he's just deserving of it.
I think that's a fair call.
Yeah.
All right,
sure.
Buddy.
DJ, what's your prediction for Saturday
night? Prediction.
Oh, I hope Dustin puts him against the cage for the first 2-3 rounds and then just wears him out.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, he looks like a young Dustin, this guy.
He does.
Free tats.
A little bit. A little bit, yep.
Little Cajun influence.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right. No one asking a question about BC's underwear or –
Nothing gross so far.
Gross,
Mikey,
yeah.
Do we have another contestant to bring on?
Come on, right up,
sir.
How you guys doing?
All right, what's your name?
Wow, this is a provocative Carlos. T-shirt we got going on.
Let me see.
Thank you, man, sir. You know who that is?
From the Scarface movie,
there you
yes?
Go.
Okay.
Gina.
What's your name?
You're damn Carlos.
Carlos, where are you from?
Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Where the military does testing. Okay.
YPG.
What you got for us?
Two questions. One for you.
Yeah.
If you have a boxing fight you see, prime, before or after, what fight would you want to see?
That I could be in attendance for?
Yeah.
When it happened?
Present, before, what's your two guys that you want to see go up?
Oh, that haven't fought?
No, regardless.
From separate eras?
Yeah, I don't understand your question.
Okay, let's just say I would see Mayweather.
Yes.
And Chavez in their prime.
Oh, that is a great question. All right, so from that regard, it has always been for
me,
the one matchup I would want to see, prime welterweight pay-per-view King Floyd Mayweather against prime welterweight Sugar Ray Leonard. And I think that's a tough night at the office for Floyd.
All right.
Okay, because you need to have the speed, which Ray had. You need to have the power, of course, but you need to have the dog. Ray had the dog. You know what I'm saying, Luke?
He did.
You don't know about that in old Marietta.
I don't.
You, MMA, what would you want to see?
Prime.
Doesn't matter what weight class.
We got really close around 2009 to seeing Brock versus Fedor. I people are like, oh, Bellator should make that fight now. No, the fuck they shouldn't. That fight would suck now. I don't want to see it. But in 2009, back when Fedor, even then he was a little bit like on the edge of decline.
Yeah.
But Brock was still, you know, the man. I would say that one. That would be the one I would really want to see.
Yo, Carlos.
Prediction for tomorrow.
Connor third, TKO.
Connor,
oh, wow.
Third round TKO.
Guy. You think this guy cleans up in local Yuma circles on Friday nights?
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself.
Okay,
look at this
guy. He looks good in that schmedium.
Right,
okay,
boss.
Keep
yeah.
in the gym, Carlos.
Through. Thanks for coming
it's a pleasure.
Through.
It's a pleasure.
Any others or no? That's it?
Mikey's got more people. He's screening them. This is like American Idol style, all right?
Hey, Mikey. The show's live. Here we go. Hey! I've seen this.
Is that Strikeforce legend Julie Kedzie or what?
Okay, there's me. Hello.
Hey, Julie Kedzie, everybody.
They don't know who I am.
I know, and
that's
he
right.
might know.
Might
I
know.
Did
what am
have
I, too young?
Question, actually, and this is for your numerous, extensive, large fan base.
Yes.
How much do you bench?
How much do I bench?
Oh, wow, bro. How
it's
much
a good
do you
question.
Bench?
You mean my lifetime PR?
Yes.
Lifetime PR is 395.
395.
Yeah.
And yourself?
You know, we don't really chart those numbers where I'm from. I mean,
couldn't do that now, but that's my lifetime
okay.
PR. Yes.
Yeah, that was really all I had.
Yes.
I was
what about you? What's your lifetime bench PR?
495.
Yeah, 495. That sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
Julie, if you were hoping that the great fans here could dip back into the archives and see one of your classic fights
yes.
and just get the full
yeah, what's the
Kedzie
one they should watch?
Experience,
well,
what can they
question.
Go to?
That's a great question.
Okay. Well, if you want one where I win and we don't have smell-o-vision, then I would definitely watch the Bodog against Yulia Berzakova.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Oh, wow.
All right.
If
Bodog
you want one where you stop before the end of the third round, the Strikeforce fight against Misha Tate.
Yeah, that Misha Tate classic.
That was a heck of a fight.
Classic.
Hey, speaking of Misha Tate, big comeback in July here.
Can you believe she's still fighting? It's crazy,
Could
right?
be headlining this card against Marion Renault and her comeback. She's been retired, 5 years, it seems like. Do you give her a good chance to do what she wants to do, which is get back in there against Amanda?
I don't want to look past Renault, who's very tough, but yeah, I think she's, look at the politics, look at what's going on in the cage. I think she's got a great chance of getting back there and getting a title shot.
Wow.
You know, contenders for Amanda are not numerous. I'm sure there's a lot of people who want that. Misha's got the reputation. If she has a really strong comeback, I would give her maybe one more fight after Renault, but that's me being the conservative old matchmaker.
Matchmaker.
not anymore, but yeah.
Julie, the fight to make, is Holly Misha 2. That's
I would love to see that damn fight to make right there.
Okay,
fight, yeah.
Winner gets Kedzie.
Prediction
okay?
for
both of them have knocked me out. Well, yeah. Misha tapped me. Holly knocked me out in the gym.
Well, prediction for Saturday main event.
Poirier.
What round by what method?
Second round TKO.
Wow! Wow! Just like last time. Wow! And your source of confidence is?
Me.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, fair enough.
She just feels right?
I think McGregor is a brilliant marketer. He's done wonderful things with fighting.
He's a little past it?
No, I wouldn't say past it. I'd say the desperation's coming out in his tweets.
Yeah, some would say I had the same desperation Monday when I dyed the hair a little bit too aggressively. Yeah. All
right.
Right here.
This is not usually blonde like this.
Yeah, but yours looks good. He looks like he got hit by a bus.
I thought I looked like Elvis 68 comeback special, but a lot of people were comparing me to Yanni's the Greek's teeth, which are very alarming.
They're very, very white. Yeah. Very, very white. Okay, Julie, thank you very much. There she is. Julie Kenzie, everybody.
Yes, yes.
All right. What do you want to do? Like one or two more?
Oh, yeah. Bring the – Luke, I'm a man of the people. All
yeah,
right?
You got any more? Four more. All right, let's fire through.
Hey, Luke, we have a gentleman here.
I am not the oldest person on set anymore. Great. What's your name, sir?
Hey, Luke, I'm Dave.
Hi. Big COVID, there we go.
Big fan of the show.
What's your name, Dave?
Dave,
where
are
you from,
Dave?
Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area.
All right, what's on your mind?
So I'm not saying that the McGregor era is over, but do you ever think there'll be a star – with the reach and popularity that McGregor has in the UFC again, why or why not?
All right, so can a fighter replicate or even exceed the heights in terms of popularity that Conor McGregor has achieved? What do you think, BC?
Obviously, yes. The answer is yes. And it's going to be someone like Conor we didn't expect that kind of came out of nowhere. Will it come out of the UFC's increased intentions in China to build up on that base or to go into Africa now that we've got, you know, three African champions there? I wonder. It's hard to put a thing on it because we can't underrate what made Conor so special. I mean,
totally.
We had Ali comparisons and the way he handled himself for a reason. My question and answer, though, is more about he said he doesn't believe the McGregor era is over.
Right.
I believe McGregor loses on Saturday, and it does give a dent to what he's got. But I do think McGregor is too good overall not to have one more big win left in him that we're
fair.
Like, oh, crap, he's back. He gets another title shot.
If he wants it.
I think he will fight for the title again even after losing on Saturday.
Interesting. I would say that yes. There's definitely going to be someone as popular or even more popular. But I would say, though, that, like, if you look at how popular McGregor is, and like in my lifetime, who's been the most popular at their peak? You know, Mike Tyson was. That's a different era. But like, let's say in the last 15 years, you know, Mayweather was pretty much as popular as it got. Conor's not far from that. You know, like, you might get somebody more popular than him, but prize fighters don't come much more popular than this in my experience. So, never lose sight of the fact that I'd never expected Ronda Rousey to do what she did and look at what she did.
Yeah.
Same thing with Conor. Somebody will come along, but to Conor's credit. You know, I'm not saying he's maxed out popularity, but they don't come much more popular than that.
Yeah, a lot of things had to fall into place, right,
totally.
In this. So.
I bet you Dave would shop at the same edible store as you. We could listen to some Dad
Rock
together,
do we shop at the same edible store?
Reef? Sorry.
No, we don't. Prediction for Saturday.
Poirier round 3 submission.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I like this guy.
All right, Dave.
All
thank
right.
you for your question
Great
and support,
to see
buddy.
You, sir.
I appreciate
Great
it.
To see it.
All right, let's get the next
Luke,
one.
Luke, we have more and more females lining up. We do attract a very attractive fan base, Luke. Okay.
I guess so. Yeah. All right. What is your name?
Hi, I'm Christina.
Step on in. There you go. What's your name?
Christina from Phoenix.
Christina. All right. Okay. What's on your mind, Christina?
This is directed to Luke.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
Would you rather take a shoey out of Ty's shoe with the spit? Or take a full clip leg kick from him?
Ooh, good question.
Shoey. Shoey in a heartbeat.
Okay.
I am old and frail. I want no part of his punching or kicking power. I want nothing to do with his germs and saliva, but at least the beer has alcohol in it and would kind of kill some of the stuff in the shoe. I would be okay. I've actually done shoeys before. Not like him.
That's filthy, Luke.
It is. Oh, it's absolutely disgusting.
I hope we get one during Wheel of Death today. That's
Have
what
you
I
done
hope.
A shoey?
No.
No?
I don't drink anymore.
You don't drink anymore?
So those days
are Oh,
gone.
You had some nights that were got. Mm-hmm. You woke up in a couple of gutters, huh?
I went to college out here. So
yeah. Okay.
You know. Do you have a prediction for Saturday night?
I do. I think Poirier makes it look easy. I think he does it quicker than last fight.
Very similar to Luke and BC making it look
easy.
That's right.
thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You've got to love the people here, Luke.
Fire through. Let's get going. Biggie Smalls.
Wow.
Life
look
of
at
Bedford
this guy.
That, the
Luke, can we
one.
Pause and just talk about his beard? That's legit right
there. Yeah, it's
there.
Full.
He's a big help. He's a big help with
yours is fuller.
A lot
it's
of
better.
Beard recommendations on the show, so he's a big
That's
help.
Right.
But this guy's a ginger, though.
Are you? I'm not a full ginger. I'm not a full ginger. Okay. Mind your business.
Oh,
you,
wow.
You're borderline.
Wow.
You're borderline.
Luke, wondering if the drapes match the curtains.
I'm not wondering at all, actually.
Oh, okay,
that's
okay,
just
okay,
you. Okay. Okay.
All right. What's your name?
My name's Andrew.
Talking to the microphone.
Where are you from, Andrew? Yeah.
I'm from Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
All right.
You got a little
like?
Southern twang, though.
It's not great. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, good call.
Bro,
okay.
He's got a Southern twang.
Oh, not quite Southern, no.
It depends on where you're at. Yeah. They'll judge that. Yeah.
Not like Mason-Dixon Southern twang.
Sometimes Luke will pull a y'all out of nowhere.
I get a couple y'alls on occasion. All right, what's in your mind?
My question is, if you had to take a date or your wife to one sporting event, what are you going to choose?
Oh.
Take the wives to a sporting event, not
one,
a fight.
One
a
sporting
fight.
Event. One sporting event.
Could be anything.
Easy. World Cup. World Cup. If Colombia or any big team was playing, she would have the time of her life, no doubt about it.
My wife hates fights but does love live hockey, so I'd go to NHL playoffs with her, and I think we'd have a great time.
Does she have a team?
No, she used to frequent the Hartford Whalers as a kid and then the minor league team that's there now. But, no, it does not have an active team but loves the live experience.
Why did you ask that question? That's an interesting question to ask.
Because I recently moved here for my girlfriend, and I'm just curious where we should go. Baseball games are always here, but I hear hockey is probably the best for AD.
Live hockey, you'll pay a little bit extra to sit. You don't have to be right on the glass. I'm just saying, like, the closer you get to the glass, and then you feel them hitting each other as they drive into it. Yeah.
Bro,
it's
you should just
totally
skip the sporting event, get the couples massage. Just go right for it, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? What do I got to do? Throw a cheeseburger down your throat? Come on, you know what I mean?
All right, prediction for Saturday.
I got Connor first round early.
Wow.
That's the first one I've heard of that. Yeah. Are you a big time Connor fan?
I'm more of a John Jones fan. That's only one fighter that I'm going to say a fan of.
Yeah.
As much as you hate to hear it.
No, that's fine.
But
people think I hate the fucking guy.
You don't hate him at all. But Connor would be a rooting interest. It's good for the sport in general. So I root for Connor for the sport in general.
Okay, there you have it. All right, well, good luck. Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you.
I think we got one more, right? Is that it? Last one.
Here we go. All right, what's your name?
Damien.
Oh, this guy, this guy day drinking right here.
Got some decent tats there, I see as well.
Oh, wow.
Show that one to BC.
Is that Joe
Show
Pesci?
That to me.
Is that Joe Pesci?
It's the Pope who looks a little bit fucked up, giving a baby a kiss, but the baby's a demon.
Wow, this is...
Yeah!
Are you a Cannibal Corpse fan by any chance?
No, not that hardcore.
Get the fuck out!
There's one Dying Fetus song I like, though, because of you.
All right.
ABC, if someone comes at you when I'm up here, I got your back, brother.
That's what I'm talking about.
I got your back.
The guy with the evil papal tattoo has got my back. I love
your back, brother.
You're Damien from?
Stockton.
Stockton, California?
That's where I live, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yo, this guy would slap a B.
Yeah, he probably would. He probably would. All right, what's on your mind, Damien?
BC, huge fan of the show. What's up with the art? Where's
the art
at?
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I am the living, breathing embodiment of art, but I do like the fact that you got a quasi-BC look going on right now. You know what I mean?
Did you dye your hair as well, blind and in the shower?
Nope. Okay. Nope. I'm not quite washed yet.
Yeah. But, no, you're not washed. How old are you?
29.
Oh, you're close to washed, though. It's not far.
Yeah, I know. I feel it.
The inevitability is coming.
How are the ladies in Stockton vibing with your ink?
Yes.
It depends. I was actually.
Wow, dude. Look, did you get a little? You got a
dude,
little
look
nip
at that.
Shot?
You want to see my chest piece?
Yeah, let's see it. Holy fuck! And she's hanging from a tree, bro.
Oh my god, this guy.
Ghetto, come here.
Yo, this guy
look
is
at
hardcore,
that.
Bro.
This guy fucks. He fucks.
Yo, I think he got Luke. I think he kills too. You know, I have to be honest with you.
He fucks, then he kills.
Wow.
Let's see the back. Here, come here. Don't walk away. Walk towards me. There we go. Now turn. Yeah. Look at that. Holy fuck.
Oh, my God.
How long did this take?
Long time.
If he's got an Epstein tattoo on his dong, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm just out of here.
Hey, you can inspect.
I'll get an MK tat this
chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll get an MK10.
Would you
I don't
really?
Care about the subject. I'll get the sun in the fist somewhere, you know?
Dude.
Wow.
Look at that. How about a round of applause for Damien?
Wow. Shout
Let's
out
go,
to
BC.
Yeah, I would get one, too. I would get one.
That's what I'm talking about.
But BC is not.
Yeah, he's scared of the needles. He's
the three needles, bro. Yeah. You know how it goes. All right.
You know, I had three needles in a place where people don't normally go, Luke. All right.
Well, I'm going to go with Poirier round three, the guy who chose to come on MK. Obviously,
yes.
I'm going with Poirier.
That is fair.
He did choose to go. Fair enough. I appreciate that.
Yo,
right.
Luke, you know who was supposed to be here today?
Who?
Great seeing the Ducks. Aljamain Sterling.
He was, and then had to cancel last minute. So what are you going to do?
That was a Canadian-like exit, right?
No comment.
All right. Hey, we know why you're really here. It's for this right here, all right? Woohoo! Live Wheel of Death is upon us. You know the segment here. These are questions Luke does not want to answer, so he will give good faith responses to medium faith
questions. May I read the questions?
Your categories this week, Luke.
Let me see first. Let me see first.
Luke, why don't you read all the categories out loud, okay?
All right. Here we go. I'm just going to go in order that I see them. No belts needed. Action Jackson. Read Pennington James's lyrics. We're not worthy. 10, DeLorean Delight. One of them says shot with a donk?
Shoey.
Shoey with a donk. Pick your poison. Female bangers. Jack of all nations, master of none. Pay me like your French girls. Please pass the Pilsner. Shoey with a donk again. Oh, fuck you, BC.
Yo, they want. That's what the people want, yo, all right?
Really gross. One of the categories is really gross shit. Okay? And then Luke's choice.
Five spins, you get what you get, Luke. Don't be an old bitch, all right? Here we go.
All right.
This could be spectacular. We'll see what happens.
I
you spun
know? It a little too hard.
Yeah. That's what she said, Luke.
We're not worthy.
What number is that, Luke?
Number nine, I think.
Number nine?
Yes, number nine. We're not worthy.
All right, I'm loading it up, Luke, okay? This is a live show. Here we go. All right, Luke, separate from our times covering and enjoying the fight game as journalists, both of us were previously hardcore sports fans, all right? Not just of our favorite teams, but just about every sport at some point. For me and my fan history, Luke, it was watching the end of Larry Bird's Celtics run. It was the global expansion of the NBA in the 90s. It was Big East college basketball when that conference used to mean something, Luke. But other times, I'll never forget riding the wave of Michael Phelps at the 08 Games, the 2000 Subway Series, or when Bo Jackson was God, Luke, okay? But I want to talk about you right now. We've heard the old-timers talk about they were thankful to grow up in the eras of Mantle and Jim Brown and Joe Namath. Looking back at your fandom of all non-combat sports, and I'm not talking about your favorite teams, just sports at large, which five athletes have you followed from start to finish in their career that you're most thankful to have been alive during that era, Luke?
Five of these motherfuckers I got a name? I don't know, man. I've been cheering for the Redskins a long time. Hey, I can't name five of those fuckers I like.
You're probably going to have at least three soccer guys on this shitty list, Luke, right?
Which five non-combat athletes were you most thankful to have watched? I'll say Michael Phelps, that I was here to watch his career. I'll give him that one. I'll say, can I say Ronaldo and Messi as one? The Ronaldo-Messi era.
Okay, okay.
You know, they were part of that. I'll say Bo Jackson, easy. I mean, watching Bo Jackson do Bo Jackson shit was incredible.
You were a big War Machine guy too, right?
I don't think so. I'll say Deion Sanders.
Okay. Okay. These are good
picks,
for
a little bit, because I lived in Georgia when he played for the Falcons and the Braves, and those were incredible times. And then I'll say, should start to finish, so their career is over,
or close to.
Close to. I'll say, this is a recent one, but Lasha Talahadze, he's the Georgian super heavyweight lifter. He's the strongest weightlifter in human history. And
why did you just put Joey Chestnut on there, Luke, okay?
He's not eating hot dogs, motherfucker. All he's right. putting 600 right. pounds over his head.
Thank you for the good faith
and he's
answer,
the best
Luke.
At it.
Spin number two coming at you.
Fuck off.
Come on, give us that shoey. Give us that shoey.
I'll do your fucking shoey.
I won't arm wrestle any of these donks.
Yeah, I'll drink your saliva.
I'll drink out of a shoe if you pee in it first. He's like, no problem.
Yeah, urinate and then spit in it. And you might have won it, too. Fuck.
Oh.
Shoey with a donk.
Yeah. Which donk is willing to put the shoe on the line? That's what we're saying.
Oh, not some fucking random. Take your shoe off.
Oh, yeah,
take
bro.
Your shoe
nope.
off.
Shoey with a donk. We need one volunteer. We need one volunteer. Who is it?
Can I do my own shoe?
No. A shoey with a dog. Oh, yeah.
I mean. Oh, God. Dude.
Down the hatch, brother. All right.
I don't think that the COVID shit's going to matter after this.
Luke,
fuck you.
This is just like Greek life all over again, Luke, okay? Only no one's penetrating you.
I really hope my wife's not watching this shit.
Here we go. Shoo-wee, shoo-wee. Shoo-wee, 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 shoo-wee.
Right. Hold on, shoo-wee. I'm going to take this off. All right, here we go. Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Congratulations, sir. You've just received COVID. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. Wow. There's nothing like a can of napalm in the morning, Luke.
Can we get someone to help me with my mic?
Let's get our security guard slash producer, trustee Dane, on it.
If it lands on that again, hold on. If it lands on that again, should BC do a shoey? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Now, listen, if it doesn't land on that, you're fine. If it lands on that again, you got to do it.
All right, only women can spit in the shoe then, okay?
All right, fine. All
right. Because at least I could say I made out with your wife, you know what I mean?
Okay, be careful.
No.
I'll leave it here, yes. Jesus.
All right, wow, look at that tall boy on the set here. Spin number three coming at you.
I think I spun it the opposite way, but whatever.
Wow, man. Tensions are high.
That was really terrible.
Tensions are high, Luke.
Okay, where are we? We are Action Jackson.
All right, Luke. Number eight.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yeah. Hey, I need to give this to you.
You and I grew up in an era where we idolized the action heroes, the Stallones, the Schwarzeneggers, the Seagals, the Van Dammes, brother, right?
Yes.
Okay. Which three UFC fighters, based on their look and personality alone, would you feel could make a legitimate move into the action hero vein in movies today? Which three UFC fighters could actually be legitimate action stars?
You count George St. Pierre?
You think he can handle it on the mic? Would I be impressed with his performance?
Yeah, I think he'd be okay.
Okay.
All right, so I'll say St. Pierre. All right, three fighters. Who would be a good action hero who's a UFC fighter?
Francis.
Was he in Fast 9 or whatever? Yeah. So let's say Francis. I'll go Francis. Give me another one.
Michael
Chandler. Oh, fuck you guys. Adesanya. 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 Oh, so Adesanya, Francis, and St. Pierre.
Okay. Thank you.
You're just
saying
names now.
Yes.
Steve.
I think, you know, BC would be pretty good. Maybe if I get Joanna as a sidekick. All right,
it's
Luke.
Like, why is our hero just, I can't say it.
Just spin number four coming
in.
I can't say it.
I can't say it. All right. We would get fired.
Look, there are some bombs on this wheel right now.
Yeah, I just swallowed one.
So it was a lot like college, I guess.
Yeah. Oh. What's this one? Female bangers.
Oh, Pick Your Poison would have been spectacular, Luke.
All right, female bangers.
Female bangers. Here we go. Luke, it was recently announced that the UFC is targeting a featherweight main event on August 28th, pairing Edson Barboza and Giga Chikadze. Luke.
Giga?
It depends on where you're from. Luke, that would be an absolute war, and we're all feeling it deep down in the loins, Luke. And the UFC does a great job consistently matching, whether it's at the top of the divisions or with wash guys, fights on the men's side that would be all-out wars. But, Luke, even though we love women's MMA and we get jazzed up for style contrast matchups like Rose versus Wei Li, I don't think we walk around giving any women fighters like the Arturo Gatti treatment as potential action heroes. So, Luke, which three female fighters in all of MMA today best deserve the asterisk next to them that whenever they're on a card against no matter whom, you know you're getting an all-out action fight, blood and guts?
Well, if you don't count the Shevchenko fights, Amanda Nunes would be an easy call. So I'll go Amanda. I'll give credit where credit is due. I actually tend to think Joanna's all action. I'll give her credit. Okay. I'll say her.
Inside the on IG too, or just inside the cage?
I don't pay attention to the IG shit.
Okay.
And a third all-action women's fighter. Can I say Betchko Hey, even though she loses?
You can. How about Andrade, Luke? Okay.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's a great call. Okay. Yeah. She's a come forward fucking monster. Yeah. That's a good call.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right.
All right. Last one.
Luke,
right?
You got one more. Come on, pick
your
poison.
Here we go.
Come on.
I already drank out of a fucking stranger's shoe. What else do you want me to do?
We got some ideas here, Luke, okay? Come on, brother. Come on. One more time around of the yellow.
We're not worthy.
All right, Luke. It's unfortunate. You want to just jump to pick your poison, Luke?
No, I don't.
All right, here
we go. You'll have to earn that one like you earn every one of these.
Final question, Luke.
All right.
If I can find it. Hang with me.
Good thing you're on top of this, BC.
I am on top of it, Luke, okay? All right, here we go. We're close.
Dude, dead air is the best
it's
kind
great,
of air.
It's great. Do I not have this in my list here? I already last it.
Just,
I already asked
BC,
it.
BC, just do a fucking shoey, you bitch.
One more time.
Yeah, you notice he got real quiet.
Let's let the wheel decide, Luke, okay?
Chewy.
Let's let the wheel decide, brother. Oh, yellow. Bring me that poison.
DeLorean Delight.
All right, Luke. Boo is indeed. All right. Luke, this isn't so much a Back to the Future question per se, as it is you starting your life over again from birth. Any year in recorded human history, Luke, given what you know about life expectancy, wars, calamities, not to mention the advancements in technology and medicine, which year would you choose to be reborn at and why, Luke?
Reborn at?
Yes.
Fuck. I don't know that I would substantially change it. I hate being old, but like that would happen no matter what. I'm actually glad we grew up in an era. I'll say this. I think that if you didn't grow up in the 80s, you kind of missed what it was like at the time, obviously. But, you know, not having to be on your phone all the time, having, like, you know, just sort of dedicated spaces for celebrity and popularity. Like, you know, when someone was famous, there was no denying
it. So 1950 is your answer.
No. 80. I would stick with 80, honestly. I wouldn't want to change too much because then you get to be a part of the internet era as it grows up.
Luke, life was better before the internet era, okay?
That's what I'm saying. You grow up pre-internet, but then you get to have the internet era.
Yo, fuck this wheel. Let's do the shoey, all right? Yeah! Let's go.
Someone give him a fucked up shoe.
Yo, I want a gross shoe, and I want the guy with the Pope tattoo. Bring him.
Same shoe.
Bring
Take
out
it.
The guy
Same
with
shoe.
The Pope
Take
tattoo,
it.
All right?
No. Same shoe. Same shoe. Bro, this shit sucks. Here, no, you gotta put enough in there. Here we go, ready? BC, 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 yeah! Drink that, you hoe! Drink that! No, all of it! Oh, drink all that shit! Drink that shit! Yeah!
All right. So this is what it feels like to have an STD. Wow. All right.
Okay, so I'm being told by our producer we have a surprise. Oh, shit!
Oh,
hey!
Yeah.
Look at this! Happy 2-year anniversary! Thank you to all the MK Dogs! Yeah! All you guys signed this card?
Oh,
thank you.
Dogs. We love
you. Thank
you
very
much.
Seriously,
you.
2 years, I couldn't have imagined we'd come this far. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's here. Thank you to those who watch. Thank you everyone watching right now. BC, this is
Luke,
amazing.
We would be nowhere without these people. I love them all, okay?
Wow, look at this.
Even the weird
look
looking ones, all right?
Look at this.
Yo, take that, Canada, okay? You know what I'm saying right now?
Are we done here?
We are done, Luke.
Oh, take us out.
For the great fans in attendance here, our great
people. Let's hear it.
At the Park MGM. 2 years. And we're taking it to the moon. This is only the beginning, brother, all right? I'll piss in the shoe and then I'll drink out of it. Let's do
yeah!
it.
MK! Yeah! We out. We're out. We're done.
This shit.